Bible to John chapter 5. So find the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John in your New Testament. And chapter 5, we're going to begin reading down in verse 31 today. John chapter 5, beginning in verse number 31. Thank you for coming out on a morning like this. I don't think anybody expected the freezing precipitation. Of course, if you go to enough weather websites, one of them is going to be right. Huh? But anyway... I appreciate you being faithful today. Let's stand together in honor of God's good word. I'm going to begin reading in verse 31. Please follow along. I'm going to skip a few verses here, and then we'll refer to all of them in the message. Verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. This is Jesus speaking. There is another that beareth witness of me. I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Look at verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Look at verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I want to speak to you this morning on Jesus, the defense attorney. Jesus, the defense attorney. Let's pray together. Father, we're glad this morning to have a copy of your word. Thank you for it. Thank you for its life-giving power to, Lord, change us, to help us. I pray that it would do more than just tickle our ears this morning. I pray that your spirit would be here in power and to deliver the message to the heart of every individual. Father, there are different needs here today. I understand that. But I am trusting your spirit to meet those needs. And I pray that his power will be evident in our lives this morning. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be sure to keep your Bible open there to John chapter 5. Believing God is a wise and wonderful choice for a person to make. I believe God is our theme for this year. And I believe God. And more than that, I believe God is who He says He is and what He says He is. I believe God because His Word is faithful and true. And on we could go about believing God. Now, it is great to make such statements about our faith in God. It is better still to know why we believe God, to know why we believe what we proclaim to believe. As a teenager said to me not long ago, I have been taught all this truth. I'd like to know why I believe it. Why I believe it. And that's not a bad question. When I was reading through this passage, I realized that this is a good place to explain one vital truth. This is a good place to explain why we believe that Jesus is God's Son and the Son of God. Now, certainly, friend, that is something that we believe with all of our hearts. We believe that Jesus is God the Son, and we believe that Jesus is at the same time the Son of God. He is the express image of the Father, and it's very important not only to believe that, but to know how to defend it or explain it to somebody else. Maybe over lunch, at work, you're asked a question by a person whose heart God is working on, and they ask you a question about, why do people say that Jesus is the Son of God? Maybe it's a relative. Maybe it's a neighbor or a friend, and they ask the question, why do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Can you take your Bible and prove why you believe what you believe? And I'll tell you something, folks, there are groups out there who are very diligent to spread their belief about Jesus, and their belief about Jesus is one of denying that He is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Now, they'll tell you this, He was a good man, He was a great teacher and a great prophet, He was a special person, but He was not God. He was one of God's sons, oh yes, but God's only Son, God in flesh? No, that's not true. Now, the truth is, you're better off not to argue with those folks. Don't even tell them God bless you, according to 2 John. Don't even tell them that. But more for the benefit of you, and especially our youth, which is really what is driving this theme this year. And I want you teenagers to sit up, and you kids to sit up and pay attention this morning. You know, when I think about some of you teenagers coming to be, you know, 16, 17, 18, maybe 19, early college years, and maybe not being able to explain why you believe what you believe, it causes me panic. Have I done that poor a job at explaining to you from the Bible why we believe what we believe, or have you not listened? Okay? And I don't know the answer. I hope we've done a decent job. But listen, sometimes it is, you know, your mind wanders, you don't pay attention, and you miss a whole message. Well, it could have helped you. I'm not saying that's the case all the time. But I want you to listen this morning, you kids and you teenagers, because you know what, folks? Hey, you're not going to be 16 all your life. You're going to be 36 if Jesus stays in heaven. And you're going to have people at work and people in your neighborhood and maybe friends and even relatives who will contest you on something that we call the deity of Jesus Christ. Meaning that Jesus was more than just a great teacher, more than just a great preacher, more than just a good man. He was God in human flesh. Okay? Why do we believe that? So, let's set the passage for us here in John chapter 5, okay? And we're not going to go through all the verses. Let me clump them up for you. In verses 1 through 9, Jesus goes by the pool of Bethesda. The Bible tells us there was a great multitude of what the Bible calls impotent people. People who were sick, people who were weak, people who were not well. They were blind in some cases, lame, deaf. They were waiting to be healed because the Bible says at a certain season of the year, an angel would trouble the water in the pool. The first person to put their hand or touch the water after it was troubled was made whole of their sickness. Jesus walked by that pool. He saw a man who had been laying there for 38 years. 38 years. and Jesus healed him of his sickness. In fact, Jesus told him, "You're made whole, take up your bed and walk." Jesus performed a miracle of healing and healed this man of his disease that had captured him for 38 years. That happens in verses 1 through 9. In verses 10 through 16, some of the Jews were upset because the man was carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. So Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath day, told him to pick up his bed and carry it. The man did, and the Jewish Pharisees got upset. You've got to be kidding. This man's been laying on his back for 38 years, and now he's well and able to carry his bed, and you're fussing because it happened on the Sabbath day? Get a life. I wish Jesus would have talked in those terms to those guys, but he was more caring and loving than us, right? Well, I should say me. I guess I'm the one doing the talking. And by the way, folks, that an element of that crowd is always around. No matter how wonderful things are, no matter how good things get, there's always somebody to pick it apart. Well, you're carrying your bed on the Sabbath day. Well, he told me to. Who told you to? I don't know. And so that's what goes on in verses 10 through 16. Verse 17, Jesus told them, God works, God the Father works, and I work. You know what he was saying? God and I are one. In verse 18, God was his Father. Jesus said God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So he is defending his deity. In verses 19 through 30, Jesus gives several lessons on his deity. All of them, now watch it, establishing himself as equal to God the Father. Jesus is God. Now you come to verse number 31. Jesus is doing the talking here. And look what it says at verse 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Stop. Whoa, what did he mean by that? Is he admitting that what he had testified about himself was not true? Look at the verse again. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. What's he saying here? What he was doing, folks, listen very carefully. This is where you need to listen. He was referring to Jewish law. Jewish law stated that a man's witness or testimony was only credible if there were two or three witnesses who could corroborate the man's testimony. So it would be like Mike Bragg saying one thing, but nobody could take it as truth unless there were two or three other witnesses to say, yes, that's what happened. Now, this started back in the Old Testament. Actually, folks, a lot of American law is built on Judeo-Christian Bible principles. According in the Old Testament law, a man could not be accused of wrongdoing by one man. In other words, I cannot make an accusation against Brother Luke and it be considered true unless there were two or three other witnesses who could say, yes, that's the truth. Kind of like innocent until proven guilty. So this is what Jesus is talking about. He says, okay, he's talking to Jewish people that are upset that he is claiming to be God. Jewish people that are mad because he's claiming to be God. He says, okay, I got it. I know, according to your law, I can't bear witness of myself without two or three witnesses, according to your law. What I say myself is not true unless I have some witnesses to back this up. So you know what Jesus does? Jesus appoints himself as his own defense attorney. And he starts calling witnesses to prove that he is God. I want to show you those witnesses this morning. First of all, witness number one is found in verses 32 and 33. Look at what it says here. There is another. Okay, I got it. I've got it. You can't take my word for itself. So here we go, verse 32. There is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Well, who is this other one? They're thinking, verse 33. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. Who's he talking about? He says, my first witness, I call John the Baptist. He calls John the Baptist to the stand. Now, people, it was established from the very beginning that John was to be the one coming before the Lord to prepare for His arrival. If you go back, don't do it now, but you go back to Luke chapter 1 and you read what Gabriel the angel told John's daddy, Zacharias. He said, you're going to have a son and you're going to call his name John, and he is going to prepare the way of the Lord. He didn't say Jesus. He said the Lord, referring to an Old Testament term for the Lord, for God, the name Lord. John the Baptist is going to prepare the way for the Messiah. This is what Gabriel told Zacharias at the very beginning. And you know what John did? He did exactly what he was born to do. He came preaching, "He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me," speaking about Jesus. He called Jesus the only begotten Son of God. He said about Jesus, as he pointed at Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John said, "You know what? God the Father told me that the Spirit would descend from heaven in the form of a dove, and that it would light and remain on His Son." And John saw, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it lighted and it remained on Jesus Christ. You know where that happened? That happened at His baptism. So John is witnessing, John is preaching that Jesus Christ is God. He's the promised Messiah. Look what Jesus said about John in verse number 35. He said, "He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in His light." A burning and a shining light. Boy, that gives off a lot of light, doesn't it, folks? He said John was a strong witness. What did John witness? About whom did John witness? John witnessed about Jesus. He testified about Jesus. He talked about Jesus. He preached about Jesus. He's the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God. He's the only begotten Son of God. He's preferred before me because He was before me. And boy, for a while, Jesus said, "Oh, you enjoyed John's preaching for a while. Until John started nailing you for your sin. And then you weren't so excited about his preaching." Yeah, that's what he said. Now, folks, you're going to have to listen. I'm going to tell you flat out this morning, I don't have any stories. I don't have any illustrations. I don't have any historical things to reach out and grab you and keep your attention. This is what I'm saying. This is truth going out right now. You need to listen. Make yourself pay attention. Okay? The first witness that Jesus calls because, okay, I got it. You can't take my word alone for it. So don't worry, I've got some witnesses. Here I go. John the Baptist. John the Baptist came preaching. John the Baptist came teaching that I was the Messiah. So witness number one was John the Baptist. But now wait a minute. He calls a second witness to the defense. Look at verse number 36. He said this in verse 36, "But I have a greater witness than that of John." Oh boy, boy, John the Baptist was a pretty credible witness, don't you think? Well, here's something even more better than that, better, greater than John. "For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me." Jesus said, the second witness I'm calling to the stand this morning is my works. My works. And Jesus said the works that God gave him to do were a greater witness than that of John the Baptist. And by the way, Jesus Christ did some wonderful works right in front of these people's noses. Now, I did some research, and at this point in Jesus' ministry, Jesus had only been involved in a handful of miraculous works. I got them listed for you. He had turned the water into wine at the wedding feast in Cana. I'm going to come aside again and say right here, that was not alcoholic wine that was fermented that could make people drunk. That was the new, fresh fruit of the vine, grape juice. I'll say again, if you think for one minute that Jesus Christ filled up several pots full of intoxicating wine that could potentially inebriate all those guests, if you think He would do that in the face of the Old Testament law, your thinking is all messed up. You said, "I thought you said that last Sunday night." I'm taking every chance I can to say it and 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 say it, because I don't want our 15-year-olds in 12 years to be sipping wine. But that's a miracle. He turned the water into juice. He healed a government official's son. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. I hope Peter appreciated that. And others. Shouldn't say stuff like that. He healed a man with leprosy. He healed a paralyzed man that was let down through the roof. Remember that story? He healed that man. Then he healed the lame man at the pool here by Bethesda. Now people, that's six miracles of some variety, physical miracles that Jesus had already performed. Already worked. Lame people were walking. Paralyzed people were moving. Lepers were healed. That's only six of them. But you would think, my goodness, that'd be enough to do something. That's a pretty good witness. But now, wait a minute. Those weren't the only works of Jesus. Because I want you to see what he said here in verse number 36. Look at it again. I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish. To finish. Now, wait a minute. These weren't only just physical miracles. Jesus had been working other miracles. Like what? Like winning Nicodemus to himself. Like witnessing to the poor, wretched woman who sat by the well on Samaria and saving her soul. And many other Samaritans had been saved. Like preaching in Galilee and teaching with authority. Everywhere he went, everything he did was the work of God. And this didn't include the other works that he would do. Like feeding thousands of people with a handful of bread and fish on two separate occasions. And maybe one of the most astounding miracles, standing on that ship in the middle of a storm with the wind roaring and the water lashing and saying, "Peace be still." Poof. No wonder the Bible says the disciples were amazed. I mean, folks, come on. If any of us had that kind of power, go outside and stop the ice. This is all testimony. Jesus said, and by the way, the works that he would finish, given me to finish. You want to know what greatest? You want to know the greatest work of Jesus Christ? Was not healing those poor sick people, or feeding those hungry people, or raising to life from those dead people. The greatest work of Jesus Christ was when he took our sins in his own body to the cross and died there and shed his blood and gave his life and gave it for you and me and was buried and the third day walked out again. The greatest work that Jesus ever did was in his death, burial, and resurrection. Jesus said, those works testify. They witness that I am God. So he calls John the Baptist. Any cross-examination? No. He calls his works to the witness stand. Any cross-examination? No. There's a third witness that now Jesus is going to call to the witness stand. It's found in verse number 37. He's already called two. How many does he need? Three. Two or three, right? So he's already got enough. But Jesus is going to he's just going to pile on. Amen. Look at verse number 37. And the Father, oh boy, now we're talking big time stuff. Himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Oh, where did that happen, folks? You know what that's talking about, don't you? That's a reference to when Jesus was baptized. He goes in the water, John the Baptist, baptizing him, pulling him out of the water. The Spirit descends from heaven in the form of a dove. And everybody standing around there hears this voice. And I'm not going to try to imitate it. Because I don't know what it sounded like, neither do you. Neither do the people he was speaking to. Look at what he says here. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. But there were people back at his baptism some years ago, his disciples included, who heard the audible voice of God speak from heaven saying, "Yeah, he's one of my boys." That might be what your NIV says. He's one of my good kids. That's not what God said. God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know what God was saying? This is the Messiah. This is the promised one who would come equal to me because He is me in human flesh. God's audible voice. Witness number three. Any cross-examination? No cross-examination. And how many did Jesus need? Two, or how many has He got? Is He going to stop now? Nope. In fact, He is headed for the pinnacle. He's headed for the greatest witness that there is to His being God. Verse 39. Witness number four. Search the Scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify. What's testify synonymous with? Witness. They are they which testify or witness of me. So Jesus had just put John the Baptist on the witness stand. Jesus had put His miraculous works on the witness stand. Jesus put God the Father on the witness stand. And now He goes to the Scriptures. And He says, search the Scriptures. And folks, now, you know, okay, take this for what it's worth. When He put the Scriptures on the witness stand, He was putting something more credible than the audible voice of God. And I'll show you that in a minute. Because He's working His way up. And He's saving His best witness for the last. He says, you go to the Scriptures. This is Gospel of John. This is 31 A.D. What Scriptures were there? Old Testament. He said, go to the Old Testament. Search through it. Because they are they which speak, which testify of me. And folks, He could do that with confidence. Because He knew. He knew. He knew. He knew that all of the Old Testament writers and prophets pointed to Him as the Messiah. He knew that. He knew it with all of his heart. He knew what they had said. He had nothing to fear about them taking the Scriptures and searching through them letter by letter, verse by verse, because He knew what they testified of. He knew His conception was the fulfillment of the Messiah's conception as written in the Old Testament. He knew His birthplace was the fulfillment of the Messiah's birthplace as written in the Old Testament. He knew His physical lineage was the lineage, the fulfillment of the Messiah's physical lineage as written in the Old Testament. He knew His death, burial, and resurrection would be the fulfillment of the prophecies about the Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection in the Old Testament. Go ahead. Release the memo. I got nothing to fear. None of it's been redacted. Search through it. Go through it with a fine-tooth comb. Pick it apart. What you're going to find out in the end is that all of those Scriptures witness of who I am. I am who they said I am. That's what He's saying. And that was the most credible witness of all. If you take the witnesses in ascending order, think about it, of credibility. Was John the Baptist a pretty solid witness? Sure he was. But a lame man walking? Come on. Does that carry a little bit more weight? A blind man sees? This nobleman's son? Come here, my son. And Jesus said, go ahead. Go on home. It's done. And the guy gets home and his son is well. And what time did this happen? Oh, about this time yesterday. And the guy... That carries a little more weight than John the Baptist preaching. Okay, now, John the Baptist, the works of Jesus, now the audible voice of God. That's a little cut above. Your pastor, I don't see, though, how you can say that the Scriptures, the Word of God, is more credible than the audible voice of God. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. We're in good shape time-wise. We're in good shape, okay? It's icing outside. You can't go anywhere anyway. Amen? 2 Peter. I don't know that. I don't have a radio bug in my ear. Pastor, hurry up. The ice is getting bad, okay? Look at verse number... look at verse number 16, okay? For we have not followed... Are you there? 2 Peter 1:16. Teenagers got a Bible. Open your Bible. You guys got a Bible. Find it. I want you to see it. You've seen it before. I want you to look. You like, if you listen today, you shouldn't have any trouble believing and knowing why you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Verse 16. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made... It wasn't just talk. Passed down from generation to generation. When we made known unto you... Puff, the magic dragon is a fable. When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Was Peter an eyewitness? You bet he was. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Where'd that happen? Baptism of Jesus, right? Now verse 18. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with Him in the holy mount. Mount of what? Come on, folks, you're talking like you got your mouth full of grits. Where was that at? Mount of Transfiguration. You mean it happened twice? You mean God spoke from heaven twice? You mean God's audible voice was heard from heaven two different times? And it said the same thing both times? This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Yes. And Peter was there at both occasions. Look at verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know what Peter said? We have something more credible than the audible voice of God. We have a canon of Scripture that over and over and over again establishes truth, establishes God's truth. Folks, what you and I hold in our hand this morning, it's more credible than the audible voice of God. Oh, understand? Yes, you understand that. I could stand here this morning. If nobody had a Bible in this room, I could stand here and say, God spoke to me this morning. This is what God told me to tell you. Go off on some crazy thing. How would you know it? How would you know if it was true or not? How would you know if God spoke to me or not? How would you know that? But when I say, look at John chapter 5, look at verse 32, look at verse 36, look at verse 37, look at verse 39. Everybody in here has two eyes, can look at the written Word of God and see what it says. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with us that this Word is true. And so Jesus becomes His own defense attorney. I'm the Son of God. Ha, 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 yeah, right. No, I'm the Son of God. Yeah, right. No, okay, I got it. I understand. My witness of myself, you can't, I know. No problem. Got a few minutes? Witness number one. John? Witness number two, all those miracles. Witness number three, the Father's audible voice. Witness number four, the Scripture. The Scripture. Now listen to me, folks. Listen to me very, very carefully. Every 15-year-old, and even down to 6th and 5th grade, if you listen this morning and you have a pencil or a pen and you had your Bible open and you circled those verses, maybe made some notes, 1, 2, 3, 4, you have four witnesses besides the witness of Christ Himself that Jesus is the Son of God. He's God the Son. He's His own defense attorney. He called all the witnesses to the stand. There was no cross-examination. There couldn't be. None. Because it was all true. Every bit of it. Now, here's the thing. You listen to me carefully. We're going to finish this. I'm about done. Folks, one of these days, life on this earth is coming to an end. And whether it's by death or by rapture, we're not going to be here forever. We're going to spend somewhere. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. There are only two places, heaven or hell. Let me tell you what is going to be the final judge between whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. Right here. Because Christ said, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. Now, is God's word going to go against you when you stand before Him? Why should I let you into heaven? Well, I've been a good person. That's not what the word says. Well, you know, I believed in a God. That's not what the word says. I went to church. That's not what the word says. I was baptized. That's not what the word says. What does the word say? The word says, if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you believe that you are a sinner who cannot work him or herself to heaven, but you will come to what Jesus did on the cross and trust Him as your personal Savior through His death, burial, and resurrection, you will be saved. That's the only way to get into heaven, because that's what this book says. And these words in this book are going to determine if you get to heaven or not. Are you saved according to what the Scripture says? Are you saved according to what the Bible says, not what you feel or think? Do you really want to stand before God based on what you think? No. I beg you, think about this, folks. This book, more credible than John the Baptist's personal testimony, more credible than the miraculous works of Christ, more credible than the audible voice of God, this Word will judge us in the last day. Are you saved? Can you point back to a time where you know you met the Bible condition for salvation? You came to Christ and trusted Him as your personal Savior. It's settled because the book says it's settled. No worries. Now, I want all of you young people, I really wish you teenagers, you kids, mommy, maybe mom and dad, around the lunch table today or the supper table tomorrow night or sometime this week when you have a chance to sit down together at a family devotion, you know, it wouldn't hurt you to pull out John chapter 5. You don't need a Bible college degree to understand these verses. And go over with your children, this is why we know Jesus is the Son of God. This is why. We believe Him to be God the Son, Son of God. I've been taught all of this truth. Why do I believe what I believe? But here's part of it right here. For this one thing. I know Jesus is the Son of God. I know it. And I know this. I've trusted Him as my Savior. Not good works, not church attendance, not baptism, nothing else but His death, burial, and resurrection. And that meets the requirements of that book for salvation. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening, Heavenly Father. I pray that You will take Your Word this morning, drive it deep into the hearts of our listeners. Thank You for putting this passage in the Bible, for helping us to see Jesus' own defense of Himself as the Son of God. Speak to hearts, I pray. In this room as only You can. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I would like to speak to the teenagers, young people this morning for a moment here, college-age young adults. I'd like to ask you folks if that was a help, if you see something that helps you understand why you believe what you believe. Pastor, that was a bit of a help for me. That was a bit of a help for my faith. It was a help to me. The Holy Ghost helped me this morning with what was preached. If that's you, would you lift your hand this morning? Young people across the room, I see you. God bless you. Amen. I hope you mean that with all of your heart. Amen. Thank you. It's wonderful what God's Word teaches us. Now, somebody else this morning would say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I've always thought going to heaven was based on being good. But I'm not sure I'm going to heaven someday. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand in the air? I won't call your name. I won't come to you. I'll just say a prayer for you at the end that God will help you to see it. Somebody here, God see you, God bless you. Is there another? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm saved. Not sure I've ever trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. Anybody else? Nobody else is looking. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In just a moment when we give the invitation, if you're not sure that you're saved, why don't you step out of your seat and come. Let one of these ladies here show you from the Scripture how to be saved and know it based on what the Bible says, what the Word of God says. If you're here this morning, you've been saved and not baptized, you ought to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Join the church if you've talked to us about it. And just reestablish your belief this morning in the fact that Jesus is God's Son. Son of God, God the Son. Equal with God, the God-man. And this is why I know it to be true. Father, bless the Word of God to our hearts this morning. I pray that it will make eternal difference in our belief and our behavior. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and the ladies are playing. If you need to be saved this morning, why don't you come? Let somebody show you from the Bible how to be saved. If you need to be baptized, why don't you come? Follow the Lord in believer's baptism. While we wait, you come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We have time for you today. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. May God work in our hearts this morning. Nail it down. I know, I believe, with all my heart, that Jesus is God's Son, and this is why. The witness of John the Baptist, the witness of Jesus' works, the witness of God's audible voice, and most of all, the witness of the written Word of God.